wondered what other mutated creatures the Lantic might be hiding out yonder. By the time all seven had got together again and started work on their raft, darkness was creeping across the sea toward them like an assassin's velvet cloak. Jack showed great skill in cutting away the net of plastic ropes and dragging clear the drums and the lengths of timber. He darted around as their clumsy craft began to take shape, lashing the empty drums together, rejecting any that were damaged or leaked. JB checked the waterline.
Tide'll turn soon.
Just make sure this is well moored and anchored down, or we'll come here at first light and find she's long gone.
It was more than half done, a ramshackle creation that rested heavy on one side. But it looked as though it would float and carry all seven of them across the miles of darkening water toward the mainland.
The tide's rising fast. I fear it will be on us in a scant hour.
They all redoubled their efforts.
Okay, that's enough. Got her tied to those big rocks, Jack?
Sure. Take Hurricane to move it.
Then let's go back up to the redoubt. Get some self-eats and some sleep. Doc, you lead us on.
A loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and the redoubt will be heaven enough. Not that ring pulls and self-heats quite qualify as the food of the gods, do they, Ryan?
Just get moving.
He glanced at their raft, shaking his head at the thought that they were considering using it to cross the menacing stretch of sea in less than 12 hours' time. Ryan slept badly. It was always a gamble with self-heats. When you remembered that they'd been around for all those years, it was something of a miracle that Moore didn't die of food poisoning after eating them. But his stomach was disturbed, and he had to go to the small, shadowless cubicles at the end of the dormitory. He could feel sweat rolling down his back, and he was gripped with savage pains that clawed at his guts. Christy slept through it all. When he eventually drifted into sleep, it was to find nightmares waiting for him. He was clambering over rocks near pounding waves. The spray lay slick and salty over the gray stones, making them treacherous to the touch. Tiny worms writhed everywhere, miniature jaws lined with needle teeth, snapping at his feet as he crushed them with every clumsy, staggering step. Ryan knew that if he fell, they would immediately overwhelm him and fill his eyes, nose, and throat. Overlying the noise of the roaring surf was a sinister clicking. It drew closer as he ran and slithered on the sharp edge of losing his balance, arms flailing, feet slipping. There was a bright, serene moon floating low over the sea, highlighting the veil of blown spume, silver-white across the tops of the long, rolling waves. Ryan didn't dare to look back over his shoulder, knowing that to do so would be to fall, knowing the frightful creature was scuttling behind him. The moon threw its shadow ahead of him, with the jointed, angular legs. He woke, curled into the fetal position, back wet with perspiration, hair matted to his head. With an effort, he managed to slow his breathing, trying to relax. Eventually, he succeeded in falling into a deeper and more restful sleep. Morning came all too soon. There was a fine mist on the sea's face, and a ceaseless drizzle sweeping in from the east carried the taste of salt. Visibility was less than a half mile, and the sun seemed reluctant to put in any kind of appearance. The tide was still high, and the seven were able to haul their raft in, using one of the lengths of plastic cord that tied it to the rocks above the high water mark. Lori shivered.
Cold, Doc.
Doc shuddered with her, hunching his shrunken shoulders against the damp.
Someone's walking over my grave. Not the jolliest of boating weather, is it?
Ryan squinted across the sound, toward where he remembered the land lay.
Figure we can hold a true course on that, JB?
Doubtful. Can't judge currents, directions, wind, tide, none of that. Could get swept out into the Atlantic and not know it.
It was true. While they'd been building the raft on the previous afternoon, Ryan had been watching the water, noticing a vicious rip current just about where the ebb tide turned, a mile or so across, with a swirling undertow and ominous areas of flat, oily sea. If they ran into that, then their makeshift raft could break up like a paper boat.
Best wait. Drizzle could stop in a while, and then the mist'll burn off.
Jack squatted in the glistening shingle, rain trickling through his snowy hair, and turning it the sodden gold of a polar bear's pelt.
Getting soaked to skin here.
No point going all the way up the blacktop to the redoubt. We'll wait.
Ryan was the leader, so they waited. Christie's feelings about the weather turned out to be right. Around 7, the rain drifted away across the gray sea, and the mist began to clear from the east. Christie shaded her eyes.
I can see the mainland.
As long as the fog stays away, we should make it. Everyone got their paddles?
Ryan held his own rough-hewn oar. The raft bobbed at their feet, and he looked at it dubiously. Christie read his mind.
This or nothing, lover.
Ryan found that the idea of nothing seemed almost attractive at the moment.
All aboard that's coming aboard!
Doc stepped on the nearest of the chemical drums, which rolled under his feet like the release of a logjam, nearly throwing him clear over the other side.
Have some careful, Doc!
Lori hurled herself on the raft and grabbed at the old man's waving ankles, pulling him back to a perch of precarious safety near the center of the craft. The rest of them slowly climbed aboard, Jack remaining on the beach to untie the final tethering rope from the cold rocks. He ran down and hopped on with a nimble ease that made Doc spit into the sea in disgust. The ebbing tide carried them quickly away from the shore of the island and into the open sea. To Ryan's relief, there didn't seem to be any current in the Sound that they couldn't handle. Though the raft of plastic drums was clumsy and difficult to steer, their combined efforts with their paddles kept it going in roughly the right direction, toward the misty shore of what had once been known as the state of Maine. Their craft butted into a long gray roller, sending up a shower of bitter salt spray.
Ugh. Sea's damned cold.
Slowly, Isla Ho began to fall away behind them. Ryan took a moment to see that much of the top of the mountain had disappeared, leaving an awkward, crooked shape that concealed the main entrance to the redoubt. He guessed that this had been a result, direct or indirect, of the nuking, and probably accounted for the fact that they'd never been able to find the visitor center and initial indoctrination module. The earth slide had whisked it into a smear of stone.
Stop lazing, lover. Many a mile to go before we sleep.
How far do you figure we've gone, JB?
Not far enough, Ryan.
Halfway!
It wasn't entirely clear whether Jack was making a question or a statement.
More than half.
Donphil was still digging in his clumsy paddle with a rhythmic, almost mechanical drive, the water swirling in tiny circles about the tip of his blade. Lori pushed her blonde hair out of her eyes and continued paddling.
Yeah, half is done. Two halves done, way I feel now.
I was never much of an oarsman in my university days, I fear.
Maul the coxman, eh, Doc?
Just shut up and keep rowing.
They were about two-thirds of the way across, and it was now possible to make out the trees above the shoreline. But the tide was turning, and their progress seemed to be slowing. Ryan's lips peeled back off his strong white teeth in a feral grin.
We're gonna make it.
The raft was bobbing along steadily, now only a quarter mile or so off the beach ahead of them. Every yard of progress was harder than the one before, as the swirling tide worked against their efforts. Ryan noticed that they were slowly settling deeper in the water, indicating that some of the chemical containers had tiny leaks. Lori and Doc had both given up, tired out from paddling. Christie, Jack, and Donphil were all